Put your money where your mouth is. You've been talking about it for years. Now it's finally time to stop the jibber jabber and start your own purpose-driven business. We're going to tell you how today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro. Fellas! I'm so excited for today's show. I'm very excited. I got a lot of stuff that I want to talk to you guys about. Obviously, the topic of today's show is how to start a purpose-driven business.
A perfect purpose-driven business is also good, too.
We touched on this in our last episode, and today, there's been a development. It's perfect for you guys because, as me and my journey of starting a purpose-driven business, I want to open up a coffee shop. I want to hire people with disabilities to work there. I've been inspired by, businesses like, Biddy and Bo's Coffee, Lucky Dog Coffee, other places. I want to follow suit. I've been inspired by people like you guys who have done it on a larger scale, but the issue that's come up now is taking on a business partner. And since you guys have had a successful partnership for so long, and have done it, you started small and you've grown and you've had such a successful partnership. I cannot wait to talk to you guys about how you guys have have been successful at this for so long, amid the twists and turns and all the things that come with business and all that stuff. And also the changes in your personal lives, you know, in addition to the changes in your business, because that's all part of this as well. So I want to get into all that, but before we do, I have a story that I have to tell about Sydney Lucy Bear, my daughter, who's 10 years old. And I felt something had happened between the taping of this show and the last show that I think is really interesting. You guys want to hear it?
Let's go.
Let's go for it.
Are you guys fans of the play Hamilton by chance?
I know it. I've never seen it.
I've seen it.
You guys, okay. All right. Are you guys familiar with it at all, though, the characters?
No, I went to the play.
You guys familiar with the Schuyler sisters from Hamilton?
No.
Oh my gosh, you guys are the worst. Okay.
Tell the all story right. Anyway.
Alexander Hamilton married Eliza Schuyler, one of the Schuyler sisters, right? She was like the Schuyler sisters, the Philip Schuyler was like he was a really rich and powerful American in the mid-1700s. And the fact that Alexander Hamilton married into this rich and famous family, it was like a big deal for them back in the day. And there was a whole song about the Schuyler sisters. It was a big part of Hamilton. Hamilton was like massive.
I was like, what is this, like 5-6 years ago?
I want to know what Sydney loved about the show. I want to know.
Okay. All right. So check this out. This is like the big story. This is the big reveal. I'm so excited about this. So we were at my brother-in-law's house on Christmas Day, and we were hanging out, and his two daughters are musically inclined. They're super talented. And we were hanging out and they were asking to play a song for Sydney. And they're like, what music does she like? And we were like, oh, she loves music from Hamilton. Like, great, we're going to play a song from Hamilton. And then my brother-in-law was like, oh, you know, we're related to the Schuyler family from Hamilton. And I'm like, no way, get out of here. And they're like,
the real yeah. Schuyler family from 1700?
The Schuyler family. And I was like, I've never heard this. Get out of here. And he goes, yeah, you know what I've got in the back? And I go, no. And he goes, I've got documents that like date all the way back to the 1700s that show that our bloodline goes all the way back, that we are directly related to the Schuyler family, the one from Hamilton. And I'm like, no way. And he breaks out this like old, all these documents from the 1700s
like
that like belong in a museum. I have the photos. I'm going to show them to you. You'll see them when you're watching the show. With the brilliant, unbelievable cursive writing, we're going through these amazing documents. We see family trees and stuff like that. My wife and my children. Yeah. With like wax seals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're related to the Schuyler family from like the American Revolution and like Hamilton. So I'm like, oh my God. So I've been telling my daughter, I'm like, you're a Skylar sister. How cool is that? Like, I think that's fascinating.
So
like,
what did Sydney, she love it or did it make the play
loved,
better?
She's been telling me. So she made me program it into her computer that, you know, we had that whole thing. Yeah. And she's been telling all her friends, like, I'm a Skylar sister. I'm a Skylar sister.
Amazing.
She's been playing it from Hamilton. It's been amazing. Like she loves the play Hamilton. And now she has an actual connection, like a personal connection.
So wait, this is your brother-in-law. So that's your wife's brother.
So my wife and my brother-in-law have their mother. They have the same mom, and that bloodline goes all the way back.
Ah, got it.
Their shared ancestor is a man named John Abiel, who is a Dutch settler of New York. Like, they were the original Dutch settlers of New York. He was like a prominent Dutch settler, and like someone in that family married the Skylars or whatever, a Skylar person. It's all of this thing. I'll show it. You can see it on the show. You can see the thing.
You know what's interesting is there's not many people that I could know or find that have such long history in the United States. I only know one other person that whose mom is a descendant of the Daughters of the American Revolution. But otherwise, everybody else is like an immigrant, like much more recent or something along those lines.
Yeah.
So that is pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
We've been playing Hamilton music nonstop, on repeat. And we've been sending pictures. Check this out. Hold on. I got to show you this because I think this is hilarious. I made this image and I've been sending this to everybody. This is a picture. I've been sending this image to literally everybody on my phone.
Yeah, that's Sydney you superimposed, right? No,
superimposed. You mean?
It looks like there's a little kid in there.
Sending it to everybody. It's amazing. All right. Anyway, I guess I'm just humble bragging that
we're surrounded, Isaac, by historical figures.
My daughter's got a connection to the to America before America became America. That's pretty cool. I think.
That's
right.
Very cool.
How about that?
Let's go.
I learned that between last show and this show.
She's gonna have good book reports and family tree stuff to do in school and stuff like that.
All right. Enough about my.
I was saying, we're 7 minutes in. Family. We might as well just do a show on this right now.
That's pretty cool. I thought. All right. Yeah, let's talk about purpose-driven business. Let's talk about partnerships because that is what we're here to talk about.
Let's do it.
The quick catch up from last episode is: you guys started Clean Logic in what year?
Well, it was started in 2001 by Isaac, but I joined I met you in 2002 and started really like working 2003.
Yeah, 2003, yeah. So,
and when you decided to start Clean Logic, Isaac, the purpose was what?
To get paid to travel. that was what it was, you know, senior year in college, you're trying to look for, you know, what your career is going to be. And actually, our common friend, Jason Bradford, his father said, find something you're passionate about. His father in our senior year was laid off after 30 something years working with a global company, GlaxoSmithKline, if I remember. And that made me think, like, how could I go and invest in all these companies that were, you know, recruiting from our place, at our university, and there's Jason's dad getting laid off saying, hey, you know, follow your passion and do what's not and don't always chase the money. And that's really what triggered me to really start to say, like, I want to chase the passion. And then my mom leaving the nonprofit was another thing that made me realize, like, hey, you know, like, I can control my own destiny. So those two impacts made me see, like, hey, you know, like what we're taught in school, and to go chase your dreams, you got to chase your dreams yourself and not, you know, go in there. And that's what started this bug as a family of social workers, doctors, and teachers, because that's where I came from.
Okay. So when did the philanthropic element come into play, before or after Mike joined?
I think the drive to really push and start was the before, when my mom walked away from the nonprofit side. It was, how do you make that a reality and make it part of your business model? So I think it wasn't there in the beginning because, you know, you're trying to figure out how to make revenue. And, you know, like a lot of people, especially, you know, if you think about it, even Bill Gates and Melinda Gates didn't start their Gates Foundation, I don't think, at that time yet. And so philanthropic was you make a ton of money and then you give your money when you make it. And
sure.
That's where it started to really think when we were, you know, really, it was the Susan B. Komen ribbon that really got me thinking about, like, how could we give back? How could we create a product? You know, you saw the consumer get behind it. So I think when you take those like 3 years of like all that happening, it was like, this is, you just got to chase it, you know? So it wasn't as clear as like, hey, it's a coffee shop. It was, I wanted to be in the products business. I wanted to sell a product. So, you know, taking that evolution.
Okay. So you start this business, you start Clean Logic, you know, you want to start a business, you know, you're an entrepreneur. At what point, because this is kind of where I am at in my journey on a much smaller level, at what point do you decide, all right, I've got the, I understand that I want to start a business. I know where I want to be. I think to get to where I want to be right now, I might need a partner. And then at that point, does Mike come along, or do you get to that point before Mike comes along?
Yeah, actually, the person that got me into the whole business of products was a gentleman I met in Argentina. And he was a young person himself. I was, what, 21? He was 27. He had done the same thing, went to college in Brazil, met Brazilian manufacturers, brought him to Argentina. So when I met him in Argentina, he was like, take these products back to the US, let's be partners. So he was originally going to be a partner, and we were only going to do food products. And then as he got ready to move over here, things changed, and he actually met a woman and got happily married and decided that he was going to stay in Argentina. And that's where that whole concept of like, wow, I really do need a partner. And, you know, especially not knowing, you know, a lot of what I need to know. He had the knowledge of, got to call the buyers, you got to do this, this is annual reviews. So the partner was the person that helped me get into the business, you know, helped even like finance some of it. So that's where the evolution of like, okay, I really do need a partner in this business.
So then, all right. So then how does Mike appear on your radar?
Okay, let's get into the Mike one, because this is a great one. We actually, you know, met through our common friends in college. And we're actually helping our common friend sell product at a music festival slash rave.
T-shirts,
that's right.
Yeah.
And Mike and I, you know, I'm just moving back from, you know, Argentina, starting this business. And I'm telling Mike about, you know, the products
tomato
that
sauce.
I'm selling, tomato sauces pop top. With fancy pop tops and, you know, fish sticks and wine. And so they were all Argentinian, South American products. And then that's where, you know, Mike had come in. I remember so he's saying, hey, well, I'm still going to school and, you know, could come and help out and intern and, you know, help with the books and do all that stuff. So I'm like, oh, I could use any help, because literally that's when, you know, I was, you know, just getting here. The person from Argentina said, you know what, I don't think moving to the US is smart. So it was just a perfect, you know, time to, you know, get the help that, you know, we needed.
So the Argentinian partner was kind of falling away. Mike was motivated and wanted to get involved in a business. He showed up. He's interested.
Let's back up. Isaac didn't do enough justice.
I love it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So we were at our friend's house, or well, my house and Isaac's friends. We were roommates at the time, and he said, yeah, I'm gonna have one of my friends come over. Is that cool? I said, of course. Isaac comes in the door, and Isaac's talking. You just got back. You moved from Boston or something, right?
No, from Argentina.
It was direct from Argentina. Okay, to Los Angeles. And so he comes over and he's talking about pop top, like tomato sauce in this pop top can. And not your regular like can, like a special pop top can. And I won't do it justice, but this guy was talking about tomato sauce more passionately than I've ever heard it. Most people talk about anything in their entire lives. And he's talking about like the plan for the business to import Hispanic foods from South America and sell it in Southern California and Arizona, the Hispanic grocery stores. And this can in particular was going to revolutionize the canning industry. And I'm just like, whoa. And I was just very impressed with the passion that he was speaking about tomato sauce. And I remember, like, as a kid, I had some friends whose parents were very, very successful. And they spoke of their businesses were like, one guy made belts and another guy made posters, just simple little things that you don't think. And so when he was talking about tomato sauce, I was like, he's different. And I love the passion that he was speaking with. And I was still in college at the time and I had internships before. So I said, hey, let me intern. But I also knew at the time, like, I knew that I also had an entrepreneurial bug, and like, I knew, like, Isaac was just visionary and tomato sauce and revolutionized the canning industry. Nobody says that. Isaac says that. And I'm like, all right, this guy's interesting. And that's how it kind of started. I said, can I help you? Can I intern? Can I do your books? Can I, you know, do the inventory and all that other stuff? And that's just how it started, one day and then every day.
All right. So at what point do you both sit down and say, we need to be partners? We are aligned on our vision. We need to team up and be on the same page moving forward, that we are linked in our vision here.
I asked to be a partner probably early 2003, I think we
very early on.
Yeah, 2003. We also I knew that I wanted to be partners with him, and I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and own a business. We started getting into money, and then that started the conversation.
Yeah, the reality was, you know, when we were still trying to figure things out, we were still, because the one thing I've learned about a business is it has to be profitable. You have to have money to run it. Like, the way Mike and I were very lucky, we were 21, 22, 23. You could live off of freaking ramen noodles, a $500 rent,
a dollar fish.
You don't have to put money away for your kids. We didn't have any of that. And so that made that easier in the decisions, because we were able to prolong, you know, probably going out of business and all the things that were going on to try to, because we didn't have knowledge, we're just learning. And so
right.
A friend from college, her friend's father committed to investing in the business, and they ended up backing out last minute. And it was a situation where they required us to move to San Diego. We had someone that was helping us in LA. We had a good deal set up with them, and we told them we're going to move away. And all of a sudden it's like, we told everybody we had this partner, and I just didn't want to panic. So I said, Mike, you stay in LA, I'll stay in San Diego, and you keep packing those orders and doing what we need to do to keep our product in LA, because we've lost anything we had in San Diego. So that's where I realized, like, okay, you need capital, you know, in doing that. And it still took time, even where Mike and I didn't get there, you know, it was more just labor that we were talking about. So I think that was like the big moment, was like, we've tried to bring in a partner. We tried to bring in funding. That was like my second time trying to bring in someone to help the business, because at that time, my parents were actually putting money up and put their house up for collateral for money with for the business. And so wow. That is where, you know, it was a situation where it's like, hey, we needed to be able to manage the business in both places. And that's where Mike did an amazing job covering and really like saying, hey, you know, I can do this. I could show up. This is what I want to do. Because not everybody wants to pack orders, be in a warehouse, but Mike loved that, you know, side of the business and driving a forklift. So it was just natural of what's going on. And the other part that we saw early on was I couldn't be operations. And even though I was a supply chain major, you start to find out who's better at what it is. I was sales and marketing, you know, and I remember even Mike going to China for the first time. He's like, who's going to go? And I'm like, I can't go to China. We got to keep selling, and you go. And he went to China for his first time and he came back. He's like, oh, I love it. And this. And so we just naturally started to pick up, like, hey, what if you hear people talk to us like, oh, you guys are so perfect together. You got a yin and yang. I could see why you guys work well together, because it's just always been naturally fit in terms of like, hey, you handle this and I handle that. So,
let me put you guys on the spot a little bit. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I was saying, the way I described it was his strengths complemented my weaknesses and my strengths complemented his weaknesses. It was kind of like a full circle.
So, all right. So let me, this is fascinating because I think a lot of people when they start, I mean, for me, for example, when you think of starting a business, I don't think when you're plotting it all out, you think, okay, I'm going to take on partners and I'm going to bring on all these people. I think initially when you're coming up with a business plan, you're coming up with your vision, you're thinking about you and what you're going to do. And then things come up along the way. And it sounded like in your case, Mike came along and it was like, this is amazing. And then these obstacles came along and you guys kind of figured out how to conquer them together. And it sounds like, I mean, what
we had a lot of very right timing.
It sounds like it, but also it sounds like you know, your relationship, you guys are flexible. You guys communicate, you guys, you know, were able to push and pull. Just the way that you explained it, like there were times where, you know, one person was needed to do X, the other person was needed to do Y. You guys talked it out and decided very maturely. I'm sure it wasn't always like, it's a very bridge story too.
Yeah. Even to this day, it's still, cause the business evolves and like what your needs were back then today, 25 years later. So as you're looking and talking, Evan, about, you know, hey, how do I evaluate a partner? You know, you're right. I didn't plan on that side, but I saw the value, you know, of it. And I think that's where, you know, where we've been fortunate is I think the drive and what we wanted to accomplish, you know, but it's not, I would say most partnerships I've met haven't worked because not everybody's willing to put the work in. You know, I've got stories of some entrepreneurs that are famous brands out there that as they got older, things didn't work, you know, so there's so many constant changes that you're evaluating, you know, from, hey, this is the right thing for myself in the business and however you see to create the livelihood. Cause that's what I've learned. The business is about livelihood.
All right. Well, let me put both of you on the spot and ask you a question. When you're evaluating taking on a partner, thinking about taking on a partner in a business that you're starting because let's be real for me here, cause I'm starting this business and I've got people that I'm talking to that are interested in coming on and partnering up. What questions should I be asking myself and these potential partners when I'm thinking about partnering up? Like, what should I be really thinking about and evaluating when making this decision about taking on a partner or not?
There's so many.
What are the top questions?
Number one is the finance thing. I just feel finance is the center of it all. You know, I think at the end of the day, good and bad, like you have to be able to deal with that. And like, what are the roles of financing? You know, what role is this person? Are they going to be the day-to-day or are they going to be just a finance partner? I hear a lot of people that take on partners that are just financing and it's someone that has extra money that, you know, they can create a return. So are you looking for someone to be the day-to-day? You know, I think one thing we talked about in the last show, now that you've come and done your homework, Evan, so congratulations. You know, my whole thing is like, you know, where do you see the business? Is it going to be one store? You said you wanted to do still entertainment. So is that going to be part of the value of the partnership? Is like, this is the day-to-day where it's going to allow Evan, or how do you see that role? Because I think you got to decide how the financing and who's running the day-to-day.
Yeah. You got to be very clear on what the financing is. Like if you each put in $100, do you each own a third of the business and who gets that extra 1%, because you can't balance it equally. There's going to be somebody that has a little bit more. And what do those roles look like? Who's doing what job, to what degree? Who is responsible for the results of each position, right? I think if you're getting into a business the way you are now with partners, those are things that clearly need to be defined.
Right.
I also think you need to know what are the person's core values, right? And have them give you examples, because if you don't align from a values perspective, no matter, even if you align financially, you might run into some problems. later. And I think you need to ask for examples. And because you're also going to need to define, like, what are the core values of the business? And so you got to make sure you all have the same vision, like the business plan Isaac mentioned. Do you want to have one store? Do you want to have four stores? Well, if you want one and somebody wants four, you're going to have, maybe they're not the right partner, or you're going to have, maybe you have to compromise on two. I don't know. But like, you need to have clearly, like, what is the vision? 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, things like that. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what do you want to do with the business? Do you want to sell it to a franchise? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to talk about everything and iron it out and write it down and agree to it. You don't have to agree to everything, but you need to like work towards everything and compromise. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're totally off, it won't work.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the reason that we're even having this conversation, my potential partner at this point, is because we are very aligned in our mission, which is that we both have kids with severe disabilities, and we are both very active in the disability community. And we are both frustrated that kids get to a certain age and have a hard time finding employment. And we've had countless conversations about this, and I've been super impressed with her, her track record of not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And when I was having a conversation with her about this, about the coffee shop thing, she was like, I want to be involved. And we've been having conversations since then. And she's like, I want to be a part of this. And when she said that to me, I was like, maybe you would be a great partner. Like, you are a motivated, active go-getter. We get along. We have a shared kind of experience working with kids with disabilities. We understand what's at stake. We, you know, we want the same, you know, we understand the value of hard work. We understand what it takes. We understand, I think we define success with this one store the same way, which is we want to be able to make money, because the goal isn't to be, you know, to get super rich from the store. The goal is to make enough money to be able to continue to hire people with disabilities and to give back to the community. That's what our mission is.
Is that a nonprofit or is that a for-profit?
For-profit.
So then you need to make money.
We want to make money. Absolutely. We want to make money because we want to make money to be able to continue to, I mean, look, if we were able to hire, you know, we'd be able to open more stores. But I think right now the focus is we want to be able to create a store, make money, make this a success, and really focus. And then if it makes enough money and it's a model that we can replicate and open another one, great. But I think that I haven't gotten that far down the road yet. I think right now we're just focusing on the one store for profit. How can we do this at a price that we can both afford, where we're not biting off more than we can chew, and we're still accomplishing our goals, which is to run a store in a way that is manageable, and we can bring in people with disabilities to work there, serve a good product, create a nice community, you know, make a little bit of noise, all that good stuff.
Well, I love that she's a woman, if you're saying it's potentially a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Mike and I have seen in our Vistage groups, when we have female business leaders, they just bring the best questions. They're empathetic.
Absolutely.
So like that just gives me a lot, not to say like, oh, every woman, every man is going to do this, but I've just seen the magic when you've got two passionate people. And we always tell our business leader, like, we need more females in our group. They just bring so much, you know, 100%. They ask the right questions. So, and the fact that she's a mother or someone with a disability as well is like, is amazing. Are they a family friend you're talking about, Evan, as well?
Yeah. Or? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've known each other for a long time. When Sydney was born, and this person was one of the first people to reach out and help us out. And we've just maintained a solid relationship since then. And I've just been very impressed with what she's been. She's been a strong leader in the community. And when I brought this up to her, she was so excited. And I was like, maybe this is the time we team up and hit this together. She's been successful in her own businesses. I've been successful in my career. And it's like, maybe this is the time we team up and do something together. So
talk about,
we're having conversations. We're talking it through. And, you know, but again, the question I keep asking myself is, do I go at this alone and try to kind of apply my vision to this thing? Or am I going to be better off with a partner like this? And I'm leaning towards the partner, because even though like I'm confident in myself, I think there's two benefits to having that I can think of right off the top of my head. Number one, she's super smart, and I feel like the more smart people you have involved in the project, the better. And it, surround yourself with smart people. That's number one. And number two, I just, you know, she's such a hard worker and she's been successful. And just to be able to kind of, just kind of the way you guys split things up with your business, you were talking about like, somebody's got to do this and someone's got to do that. You know, I'm one person. I've already, you know, I have my family, I have Sydney, and I've got this other stuff. And it's like, to be able to kind of split up responsibilities with somebody that I can trust, I think has so much value to it. And when this person presented herself, it was like amazing. Timing, like you guys were saying. So I feel like it's it feels like it's all happening for a reason, kind of a thing.
I feel like, you know, where you're at in life and the things that you have going on and responsibilities, like to start from scratch, if I'm putting myself in your shoes for a second, like it probably makes sense to have a partner or more, especially if this person also has a child with disabilities. It might make sense because there's a lot of things that you'll need to split. And I only say that not because it's more difficult with a child of disabilities. I'm saying because there's a lot of responsibilities and requirements to do a business. And just having a family in general, maybe it makes sense to have somebody that can share in a lot of the responsibilities. But again, my advice is going to be, you need to talk about the expectations. What are yours? Right. What are hers? What are another person's? Plus, what are the requirements of the business? So you'll need to iron those things out first before you say, hey, let's be partners. Let's say, if we were partners, Here's what's important to me. Here's what I want to make sure is done. Here's what I can offer. How about you? You know what I'm saying? And talk it through and ask many questions. But it probably would make sense to have a partner for a venture like this at this stage in life. I think about if I was to go and try something totally different, coffee shop or who knows.
I think it's going to come down to, you know, like as we talked about in the last part, getting what's the cost and everything, you know, because what you don't want to do, I can't remember the book out there, but it talks a lot about entrepreneurs. They want to start businesses. And the best example I remember clear as day is this woman wanted to start a bakery and all her friends said, you make the best baked goods, you got to do it. Well, she didn't realize signing up, even though she's a great baker and was passionate, she had to get up at 2 a.m. every day and she had to do this. And then she wasn't making money. And then all her employees, she couldn't pay her bills. Yeah. And so like it was an e-myth is what it's called. And so like this whole thing where you think you start a business and it's all great. Yeah. So I think of a coffee shop as almost like this bakery. Yeah. You got to be in early in the morning. Yep. It's not 4 a.m. You got to be there like 2, 3, you know, so it just depends. So I definitely favor more of like, how do you do the business partnership? But you got to look at,
I tell you something, Isaac? Can I tell you something, Isaac? You know, the reason I believe that I'm ready for this, because when you say something like that, when you say that stuff, that doesn't scare me. That excites me.
Okay.
And that's why I know I'm ready for this. Because when you say, oh, it's not about waking up at 5 a.m, it's about waking up at 2 a.m, like that. Oh, I love that.
Talk to a Starbucks employee that opens the store and ask them about the things that they have to do every single day. And then
I love
decide
it.
Again.
Hey, when I was at TMZ, I was the first one in. I remember when we started TMZ up, and you know, Harvey wanted us all there at like 5 a.m. I would get, you know, when we were first starting up, I would get there 4 a.m. with a guy named Brian Particelli. We were there an hour early. We were there an hour before everybody else, but going through the video and making sure that we knew what was going on, because we wanted to make sure that we had everything, that we knew exactly what was going on. So when people got in there, we were already hitting the ground running before everybody else.
It's a good start.
I love it. And then when I was a manager there and I was running stuff and I became an executive producer, I was always there before the staff was there. You know why? Because I wanted to make sure that I had a battle plan, a game plan ready. And I also felt like leading by example was better than just talking and talking and talking. It's
well,
like
you got all the right skills and the mindset. So I think you're there. I think just getting that next phase.
I love working
funding.
Hard. Yeah. You put in the work and it just makes the reward so much sweeter. You know, it's like you put in that hard work and then when it finally all comes together and you have, you know, you can see the fruits of your labor in front of you. It just makes it so much better when you know that you've like put in that work, you've put in the hours, you've put in the sweat.
Well, I could tell you.
I can't wait.
I could tell. I could tell. Yeah. I think you're certainly just putting it out there. So, you know, and I think this sounds like a natural, you know, piece to have, you know, someone that you know, and it's just really trying to hash out,
yeah, man,
those details, and you know, getting the legal stuff in place, and
should we call it the Schuyler Sisters Coffee Shop? Do you think Lin-Manuel Miranda would be mad at that if we did that?
Well, if you have a partner, you're going to have to make sure they're okay with the name.
You just have Hamilton stuff all over the shop.
Have you guys started talking a little bit about how you want to do it? Or are you just more of just in the idea phase of like, oh, you know what? Can I have a partner? Like, where are you
at? The conversations that we've been having so far have just been about what separates this coffee shop from a traditional coffee shop. And that is the component of hiring people with disabilities. And that's what's gotten her really excited about it. That's what I'm most passionate about. So that's what our conversations have been around. And then we're having more conversations about establishing, you know, more of a business plan and to talk about the things that you're mentioning, which is like, what does the overall relationship look like and how are we going to actually go about, you know, the financial piece and all that stuff. Those are conversations that we're going to be having. But at this point right now, it's just basically like, hey, this is something that I'm interested in. This is something you're interested in. Is it realistic for us to team up and go down this road or is it just something that we're excited about at the moment and it's not really realistic?
Well, my whole thing right now is, you know, this is making for a great show. So the bet is on Evan's sticking to his word. He's making it happen because for us, what I love about this show is like, you know, we've been talking about people, making them aware of different things. And I think this is another great thing that everybody I know thinks about starting a business. And I'm always like, start it. But there's all the what ifs and all the questions. So Evan, you're putting your thoughts out there and we hope that we can just ignite more people to be one starting purpose-driven businesses to help the disability community. But like we say, purpose impacts everybody. So we just hope this conversation is going to help you find that bug. Cause as you can hear from Evan, this guy's ready to go. If he just didn't have time, he would be ready to open up tomorrow. So,
I'm fortunate to have you two mentors to, you know, to help me through this because, you know, you guys, I'm blaming you for this.
Sorry.
Both of you.
Sorry,
you
not sorry.
These conversations, honestly, these conversations with you guys have put this bug in my head and have inspired me to kind of move forward on this. And you guys are amazing. What you guys have been able to do and what you guys are doing now and what you guys continue to do moving forward, it's really inspirational. It's inspiring. It's great. And I'm open to do a fraction of what you guys are doing. You guys are amazing.
I don't think there's anything better in the world than being able to like do something like this, create your own business, impact people's lives, help the world. You know what I'm saying? So if you can do this, go ahead. You're not going to
try, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying, man. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Driven by Purpose. Remember, if you guys like what you listen to, you guys like the stories that we're talking about here, like, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Comment. We'll comment back. You know, if you guys want to give me a hard time about this business that I'm trying to start, go for it.
We will.
I have thick skin. I can take it. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you guys soon. And if you guys like Hamilton, we appreciate it. I'll let my daughter know that, you know, family. We have our next show, by the way. We have Tom Gustafson, who just joined us. I know he's well, I'm going to fill him in about how my daughter is a Schuyler sister. He's going to really appreciate that story. We'll talk about on the next episode of Driven by Purpose. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Thank you.